Recently, I left a rather, what I thought was a little shallow or empty, hollow feeling in my soul after I left a more virtual church service, which we are all having to do right now, I understand. But it certainly doesn't replace the gathering of the saints and the rubbing of elbows and the shaking of hands and the giving of hugs and the eye-to-eye contact that is so important to our spiritual and emotional well-being. As believers and as human beings. And so I felt a little sense of emptiness in my soul on a Sunday afternoon, and I realized that I had sat through a liturgy that didn't have any real sermon to it at all. And in fact, to be frank, it didn't have a sermon attached to it. And without the Word of God, there's no real purpose in going to church. I was just feeling empty in myself, and I decided to just tell the Lord that. So I just prayed, and I told the Lord that I really needed to hear from Him. I really need to hear a word from Him that day. And now, let me assure you, I'm not into hearing voices. I'm not into burning bushes. I'm not into angelic visits or any of that kind of thing. We have the living Word of God. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the Spirit's work in our lives are and through the Word is more than adequate, fully sufficient to meet our spiritual needs. So later in the day, as I was walking through my kitchen, I just felt a strong impression in my soul and mind, a deep conviction about a text out of 1 Peter. And so I opened my Bible. In the 1 Peter chapter 1, and I looked at verses 3 through 9. And as I read that, my heart was warmed, my soul was refreshed, and I felt that the Lord had met me through that text and given me precisely what I needed that day, and that was a word from Him, and a very encouraging word at that about the current trial, the tribulations, and the fears and the stress that is being caused all around me by this coronavirus crisis that we are in. So I want to share that with you today. I want to share with you the devotion that I've developed out of that experience that I had between the Lord and I, and share that with you. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 9. Let me just read that. Quote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." End quote. What I want to draw your attention to is verse 6 particularly, and in that he says, "In this you greatly rejoice." In this, meaning the fact that we have a living hope, that we've been born again into a living hope. We've been spiritually birthed by a divine work of the Spirit, where that we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have hope because he has risen. And we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away. It isn't like the economy. It isn't like the stock market. It isn't like shallow friendships. It isn't like so much in life that fades away. It is reserved for in heaven for us. We who are kept, not by our good works, not by our sense of religious duty, not by our effort, but by the power of God, who are kept by the power of God through faith, emphasis, through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We are a work in progress. We are not a completed project. God has plucked us up from the pit. He has washed us. He has regenerated us. He has placed His Spirit within us. We are sealed by the Spirit for the day of salvation, and we are in a now and a not yet time. So we are now the children of God, and it has not yet been fully revealed, fully realized, certainly, what we shall be. So all of that, Peter tells us that in that we should greatly rejoice because of all of these things. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now, here's the kicker. Here's what so encouraged me last Sunday afternoon. Having been grieved by various trials, that, in order that, so that, that's a purpose clause in the Greek, so that the genuineness of your faith, having been much more precious, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What encourages me, and what I hope will encourage you today too, is that this crisis that is going on all around us and perhaps has touched you personally is, for the Christian, it is an opportunity for us to discover the genuineness, the authenticity of our own faith. Our faith will grow in times of trial. Our faith will increase in times of trial. God allows these things into our life. In fact, in James chapter 1, he tells us, "Count it all joy, my brethren and my sisters, when you fall into various trials." And so, knowing that these things bring about the work in us that allow us to experience our faith as being genuine, true faith that can stand in the storm, that can stand the onslaught of the tide, that can stand the winds and the rain and the storm and the thunder, and be standing at the end. Indeed, having put down roots, you are even stronger than before the storm came. So this should be of great assurance to you and I. When the storms come, when the trials come, we are found to be upon a rock. We have great assurance. Now, God knows your faith. God knows the quality of your faith. He knows the depth of your faith. He knows the breadth of your faith. He knows you are His child. What is really missing sometimes in our lives is whether or not we know these things, whether or not we know that we are God's child. I mean, we hope sometimes, but that's not a Christian view. We don't just hope. We believe that we are children of God. We believe that our Heavenly Father will never leave us nor forsake us. We believe that He has made us His own child, after the image of His Son, and that, in fact, He is actively working in us to conform us to the image of His Son, so that the moral character of Jesus is being formed in us in thought, word, and deed. Now, during good times, on Disneyland weekends, there isn't much cause for us to be tested. Very little spiritual growth will occur while we're on vacation. Of course, it can, but you get my point. There is no environment there that squeezes us, that presses us. the current crises, with all this going around. This is March 31st. And we understand that April and May could be very hard months on us as far as the number of deaths that we're going to see being broadcast. And perhaps, God forbid for you, but perhaps even touching you or your family. So these are times that call for authentic faith, genuine faith. But more than that, these are times that call that you understand, that you believe, that you know to the core of your being, at the cellular level, that you have that faith, that you possess that faith. It is a precious faith, Peter says, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. More precious than gold. You know, in his second epistle, he uses that same word, precious, two more times. In precious promises and precious faith. And so to Peter, he understands the value of this faith. And he wants you to understand that too. I want you to understand that. I want to understand that better. So what I've told you today is that let the trials come. They're going to come either way. We can resist them or we can embrace them. Let the trials come. When the bad news comes over CNN, when the bad news comes from a neighbor or family member or friend, let it happen, knowing that you are being tested, that your faith is being tested in order that you may gain assurance. And with assurance, joy, and the peace of knowing that you are indeed God's child, fully protected, never to be abandoned. Amen.